Read for us today from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way.
Thank you, Liz.
Welcome.
Maybe you've heard it before. One person's trash is another person's treasure. I think I heard that phrase for the first time from my mother some years ago, and I believe it was in reference to rummage sales. Rummage sales are often initiated by someone who just gets tired of all that stuff that they don't use anymore, and it's been laying around the basement or attic or garage. And they finally decide to set it all on tables or on the grass in the front yard or on the driveway and just get rid of it. Prices are put on the items. Occasionally, a rather high price might be put on one item. It usually doesn't sell. More often, a low price is put on items in the hope that someone, just please, someone, will find it a bargain that they just can't pass up and buy it. Sometimes the seller is so motivated to sell something that you can talk them down to a lower yet price. Sometimes a bunch of stuff will be put in one box and you can't buy just one of the items. You have to take the whole box just so the owner can get rid of the stuff. So much stuff that used to be needed by the owner has now become clutter and they just have to get rid of it. And what doesn't sell, you know where it goes. To the trash. But the truth is, that's only one side of the story. Very early on Saturdays or on days when a rummage sale has been advertised, cars that are strange to the neighborhood start trolling the neighborhood and start trolling the advertised address even before the advertised start time. They're anxious to get there before anyone else might get there, because what might be trash to the seller could be a treasure to the buyer. They've been looking for it for a long, long time. Consider this true story. A slide of a piece of art, Dan. This lady's name is Terry Horton. Terry Horton bought that painting at a garage sale for $5. Terry was a recently retired truck driver with a sense of humor, and she considered the painting to be ugly. She freely admits that she purchased it as a gift for a sad friend, and her plan was to share an afternoon with that friend, firming up their dart-throwing prowess. She planned to use the painting for target practice. They never got around to it because the painting was so large that her friend's home couldn't fit it, and so they eventually put it in the garage, and then eventually in their own garage sale. It was only the thoughtful eye of a passing local art teacher who suggested that that looked like the work of Jackson Pollock. Well, that little phrase stopped the sale, but not before Terry answered the art teacher's assertion with this question. Who the, and I don't know how to pronounce this next word, I'll spell it for you. It's hashtag dollar sign and percent. I'll just paraphrase. Who in the world is Jackson Pollock, was she asked. Well, since that time, a documentary has been made about Terry, and it's titled with that famous question that I just read to you. And within the film, they take on her quest to take on the art establishment and prove the authenticity of her painting. And it all came down to a Pollock fingerprint that is in the artwork. Terry died in the year 2019, still owning the piece of art, even though she'd been offered $9 million for it. She was holding out for no less than $50 million. Our text today is about three wise men. Three magi, as they are also called. Men who knew a treasure when they saw it. The first verse that Liz read, verse 1, goes, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Magi is a title of respect from the Orient, from the east. It's given to wise men, teachers, physicians, astrologers, and the prophetically gifted, who were also called seers. These magi had been carrying a treasure for years. Their treasure was a particular hope, the hope of the arrival of Messiah, the King of the Jews. I don't know all that they knew about their treasure, but what they knew suggested that this Messiah would be a blessing not only to the Jews, but also to them, as they were Gentiles. And so they came, bearing gifts and ready to worship. It would have been a long trip that they would have taken, probably initiated soon after the birth of Jesus. It began with the appearance of a particular star that they'd been expecting, and the trip lasted up to 2 years. They'd been waiting for this treasure for a long, long time. Verse 2, Magi came from the east to came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. The first verse that I'd already read out of our text not only mentioned the Magi or the kings, it mentioned that they arrived in Jerusalem during the time of another king, King Herod. Herod had his own reputation. With Roman support, he'd gained control of Judea, where Jesus was born, around 30 BC. He was a skilled politician and administrator, but he was also known for his cruelty and ruthlessness. He eliminated potential rivals, including several members of his own family. He executed his brother-in-law because of suspicions that there was a plot against him. Mariamne the First was Herod's beloved wife and the mother of several of his children. But despite his deep love for her, he became increasingly paranoid about potential threats to his reign. And in 29 BC, he ordered her execution, believing her to be involved in yet another conspiracy. Years later, he executed his own sons for the same reason. You see, Herod had what he considered a treasure of his own, raw power. And here came these magi talking about a newly born king. whom they considered so significant that they were willing to travel many miles just to see him and give him their worship and treasure. What was the Magi's treasure was the king's trash. It had to be gotten rid of. What was the Magi's hope was King Herod's fear. Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. It happens when the status quo is changing. Whenever homeostasis changes, there always comes uncertainty and anxiety. And so Herod the Great got nervous and got devious and deceptive. Verse 4. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is this Messiah who was to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Others might think you're weak, others might think you're small, but the prophet could see what was one person's smallness was another person's view of greatness. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." You know, it really is possible to use the scripture for evil means. Sometimes it's done by sword fights, trying to prove the other wrong, and you have no motive really of knowing the truth. It's to win over the other person. It's possible to use God-given wisdom to harmful ends. Here's Herod consulting the scripture. Herod considered the Magi's great hope to be nothing but trash that he needed to get thrown out. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. Oh, he's going to sound sincerely interested, but he's planning another execution. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Hey, go search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Yeah, right. But God helps those holding the same treasure, the same hope as these wise men. He helps by leading us to our journey's joyful end. He really is our good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They could tell the difference between treasure and trash. God helps not only by leading us in righteous paths, he helps us by protecting. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And four verses later, it's written that when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, his motives exposed, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he'd learned from the Magi. In other words, he learned that the Magi told him that star rose about 2 years ago. So any child born within the last 2 years could be that competing king. And he treasured so much his raw power that he was willing to murder all those 2 years old and younger. We all carry a treasure within us. It's a longing, or at least a hope, that God has put in us. Maybe you felt it when we were singing together earlier. I did. Maybe you feel it now. Maybe you've lost touch with it for a while. After all, it is a long journey from the east to the manger. And there are enemies on our path. There are King Herod spirits who see our treasures as trash and so aim to deceive us and talk trash. They see our hopes as what they most fear. But like we heard from Marcy last week, fear not. God protects with timely counsel, with a dream, with an angel. God protects. And so we get up again. We pick up our hope again, our treasure, and we keep walking. We keep seeking. Some years ago, a local funeral home called me to ask if I would speak at the funeral of a man that I had never met, and I agreed. Now, when it comes to funerals, I like to try to capture something personal about the deceased and focus on what was redemptive about their life, if at all possible. So I asked if I could meet with the family. The undertaker said there are only two adult daughters involved, and they don't want to talk to anyone about their dad. All they were willing to say about him was that he loved Elvis music and rummage sales. I was disappointed, to say the least. I wished more for the dad and for the family. Surely there was something redemptive about him. I don't know if it was inspired by God or my own nature or the memory of my mother's words, but I preached to a small gathered group, including those two daughters, a funeral titled, "One Man's Trash is Another Man's Treasure." And in that sermon, I highlighted as graciously as I could how God sees us, including their dad, as compared to how we see ourselves and each other. Isn't that the storyline of the life of Jesus from the very beginning to the very end of his earthly life? Jesus, are you a blessing or a threat? Jesus, are you to be treasured or are you to be killed? Jesus, are you our hope or what we fear? When Jesus was born, he was treasured by Joseph and Mary and shepherds and angels and magi. They wrapped him in warm swaddling clothes. They worshiped. They knew he was the hope of the world. When Jesus died, he was hung on a cross in a landfill where all the other trash was thrown out. His blood-stained clothes were put in a makeshift rummage sale with a price of zero put on it. All you had to do was cast the dice and be lucky. What is Jesus to me? What is Jesus to you? No matter what you are to yourself or to anyone else, even if they treat you like trash, you're a treasure to him. Being with you is what makes him get loud and excited and repeat himself, like at the end of all things in Revelation 21. Finally, I will be with. Being with you is the Lord's hope. He was born and lived and died in order to make it possible for us to be with. You may be considered by yourself or others sometimes somebody's trash. To him, you're a treasure. I wonder if you'd bow your head with me. Lord, what a blessing it has been already to sing about you and about it, about the wisdom that you use in choosing to come so weak, so vulnerable, drawing us to you instead of forcing us to you. What beauty, what wisdom. Lord, live in a noisy world. So many words go back and forth, and yes, some blessing back and forth, but also much accusation back and forth. And I pray for everyone assembled here today. And I pray about the message they carry around in them about themselves. Are they treasured or are they worse? And I ask in Jesus' name that you will open our eyes today so that we see how you see us as your treasure. Lord, we also come confessing. We don't always recognize you for the way you are. You try to give us so many hints. You've pointed out to us in your word that when it's the hungry, when it's the naked, when it's the least, it's you. And we want to recognize you for the treasure that you are and not pass them by like they're so much trash. And so we ask your wisdom. Lord, I ask that in this Christmas season, you will fill our hearts with the new awareness of the treasure that we are in your eyes. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Our kids, in just a moment, are going to tell us the story of another prophet who saw it from the treasure from afar and recognized it for what it is. And so I'm going to invite, as soon as they're ready, the prophet Isaiah to come and talk to us.